Thank you. The angel came and gave me your name. I thought, who am I to name you the name which I will be saved? Your name, God, as salvation. Who am I to carry the Messiah for which we have waited and craved, to carry the King of all creation? Who am I to vessel for your breath when you are the one who made me breathe? Who am I to be the first to hold you when since the beginning you held me and in the end again you will hold me? Who am I? I am not worthy. I am not worthy to be your chosen one. You alone are the one, the great I am. I am alone, I am no one. But I surrender my plans, my body, so gladly with honor I offer a safe place for you in me, as you have always been my safety. Oh, giver of life, be born in me. Oh, living water, spring out from my belly. Oh, Holy Spirit, be home in me. When the angel came and gave me your name, I knew I'm not the only one who will change. All of us, this whole world will never be the same. Because now we have a name to offer compassion, to wash us from sin, and to stamp us forgiven. Now we have a name to be baptized in. A name that pierces through darkness with holiness, that breaks the chains of suffering and pain, that washes the stains drawn by Satan. See, when the angel came, we got a name. We got the name of Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We got the name to call Jehovah Rapha, our restorer and our healer. We got the name of Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, he is here with us. We no longer have to wait for an unnamed Messiah to fall from the sky, because we have the name of the Most High. And not just any name, the name above all names. When you hear it, you fall to your knees. And when you sing it, you jump and dance to your feet. And when you speak it, you will be set free. The name every tongue will confess, yes, you say it with me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Long awaited. Isn't God good? Amen. You'll have to forgive me on this next song. This holds a very personal meaning to me. It's very special. It's not only a beautiful song, but it's an experience in my life that I treasure. It's amazing to me that on this day, He was born to give His all. We must never forget that. What a special time of year. May this song become your meaning as well. As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find. But we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. And we were the reason that He gave His life. We were the reason that He suffered and to a world that was lost, He gave all He could give to show us a reason to live. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts and the giving of ourselves and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung crying in the rain because of love, because of love. And we were the reason that He gave His life. We were the reason that He suffered and to a world that was lost, He gave all He could give to show us a reason to live. And I finally found my reason for living. It's in giving every part of my heart to Him. In all that I He gave His life. We are the reason.
Philippians 1:20, my eager desire and hope that I may never feel ashamed, but that now as ever I may do honor to Christ in my own person by fearless courage. Today, as we seek the Lord, the first day of January, you know, we all set our goals and we have our resolutions that we make. But this year, I really do pray, God, give me unconditional love. Help me, God, to die to my flesh. And God, give me boldness that I may love as God has loved, no matter what. As we go to the Lord in prayer, Sarah, George, and family were in an accident. The vehicle was totaled near the church. It must have happened this evening. They don't know about injuries, but they're checking on Luther. Also for Clara Weber, she's in Meritor Hospital. She's been unresponsive and incoherent. Shelley is praying for a miracle. We know the God of miracles. We sang about him. We talked about him. We celebrated his birth just a week ago. But he did more than just come to the earth to be born in a manger. He came to dwell in the hearts and minds of people everywhere that we go. And I thank God that it's not dependent upon me, because I don't know that I could have done what Jesus did. But because he did what he did, I can come before him and I can stand before his presence and give to him whatever it is that I need to give to him. And right now, as we pray for the George family, if you would just stand just for a moment, just forget everything around you and just lift this family up. Jesus, we pray right now for the George family. God, you know the circumstances surrounding this, and I pray, God, that as you make provision, Jesus, you said that you would supply all of our needs. And God, I just pray right now for this family. I pray for Luther in specific. And I pray, God, that you would touch this young boy. That, God, your healing virtue, that even as we lift up his name before you, that healing virtue would flow in his body. Jesus, you said that by your stripes we are healed. It has already been done. And God, we pray for Clara Weber. We pray, God, that you would reach down and to touch this lady. God, I pray for a miracle. Jesus, you are the God of miracles. And Jesus, I pray right now that as you move in Shelley's heart, in her life, that God, you would give her words to speak and give her the prayers to pray, that as she prays for Clara, that God, your hand would rest upon her, the unction and anointing of your spirit. In Jesus' name. And you may be seated. It's a new year. It's a new day. Seems like I just did this last year. I think I did. Last Wednesday. But today's a new day. It's 2017. Tomorrow, Monday, January 2nd, begins our church-wide 21-day fast. Hallelujah. I am looking forward to this fast. I am looking forward to this fast. I need this fast. And I thank our pastor. I really thank our pastor for feeling sensitive and for leading the church. Because, you know, when we stand together, divided, we fall. And we all struggle with it. Maybe you don't, but I do, because I'm human. But I do know that God, when we do bind together and we put it in his hands and we join together and we do what he has said, it does change our hearts, it does change our minds, and it does change our purpose. And it gives our pastor the clarity that he needs as he leads this church. So as you seek the Lord, just keep this in mind, and whatever the Lord lays upon your heart for the fast, and our pastor will give us some more direction on that. Now we'd like our ushers to come. To today is our World Missions Offering. And as you bring your tithes to the front and your offerings, the two gentlemen in the middle are your tithes and offerings, and your missions giving, the two gentlemen on the outside. Boy, isn't that one to my right? He's a handsome young guy over there. He sure is getting tall. Jesus, we just pray that you would bless this offering. God, that as you give, that as we give unto you, that God, it would be used for your glory, for your kingdom. And God, that as you continue to multiply in your kingdom, that Lord, you would give that increase according to your glory, according to your plans and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like our pastor to greet the guest.
Sister Linda. Praise the Lord, everyone. How many of you are happy to see 2017? It's hard to believe that the year goes by so quickly. It is an honor to have, if you're a guest of ours tonight, it's an honor to have you here with us. I want to just give a little bit of an explanation here. So as you're wondering, as the service continues to flow forward, we had some issues with weather back through our Christmas season. And it snowed at your house. It snowed at mine. It was cold at your house. It was cold all over Wisconsin, all over the country. And we had to, right during the middle of the Christmas season, we had to postpone and reschedule and change things around. So tonight is what we have our adult Christmas a condensed version of our adult Christmas concert that they usually put on every Christmas. And then we also have our 4- and 5-year-olds that will be singing here for us shortly that did not get an opportunity to sing their songs. And then also, I'm going to be speaking, but I'm going to be speaking more from a New Year's standpoint than from a Christmas theme, okay? So we're going from a week ago, Christmas, to New Year's, and we'll all keep up. We'll all get caught up here. So when we leave here tonight, it will be 2017, Sunday night. And also after service, we have cookies, we have pizza, and all kinds of goodies in the fellowship hall if you'd like to hang around. And yes, we are starting a 21-day fast at midnight tonight. So I would encourage you to either wind down or indulge, depending on which way you want to approach your fast. A lot of folks are doing the Daniel's fast, 21-day Daniel's fast. There are also some folks that they want to just do an outright fast if you would like to take and maybe fast for 5 days. If you've never fasted for 5 days, maybe go 1 day and press yourself to 2 days, or go 2 days, try 3 days, or however you would like to work your fast. That is up to you as an individual. I just would recommend you drink plenty of liquids, and not Mountain Dew is not considered a liquid on a fast, okay? I said that for me. I have to remind myself, Mountain Dew is not a energy drink with all kinds of vitamins and minerals in it. So that's our fasting, and we'll be, as we get into this, we'll be having more geared toward that on our Wednesday night services. So if we could stand at this time, as I said, it's an honor to have all of our guests here tonight. I look out across, we have folks from all over. It's so great to have you here. We're going to take a 5-minute break, and we're going to take our offering, and our children are going to get set up for their portion. God bless you, and we'll be back in 5 minutes. Hi, Mom. Isn't that what they always do? It's always hi, Mom. It's never hi, Dad. You ever wonder that? I don't know why that is. Hi, Dad. All right. Thank you for your cooperation. We're going to turn this over now to the one and only Sister Rebecca Hiddesdorf.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Our boys and girls are excited to sing and get ready for this program. That's why I was hoping to get them up here. So they've been practicing. They've got their pictures ready. We did something a little different this year, and I was wanting to do something different with them, and I thought, well, what about them? What about their hearts and where they're at with Jesus? So I thought, okay, let's do What Would You Give Jesus? And it's different for everybody, so we have a lot of different responses. Some are very sincere. Some are just, they come from the heart. So we're looking forward to hearing what they say. What would you give Jesus for Christmas?
A trophy and money. My heart.
My heart.
Travel.
A monster truck in a box.
A tree in a song.
My heart.
What?
A crown.
A train.
Okay. A princess.
Okay.
A paw.
A moon.
A big bouncy ball.
Jesus. Can you say candy? Candy. How about you? All right, well, what do you want to give Jesus? What did you draw a picture of?
I can find out what I'm gonna do right now.
Huh?
What?
did the cows at the manger say to baby Jesus in the hay? Moo, 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 baby Jesus, we love you. What did the sheep at the manger say to baby Jesus in the hay? Ba, 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 baby Jesus, we love you. Jesus was born on that Christmas day. Mary laid him in the hay. So little boys and girls may pray. Jesus, Jesus, baby Jesus, we love you. What did the donkeys at the manger say to baby Jesus in the hay? Hee-haw, hee-haw, baby Jesus, we love you. Jesus was born on Christmas Day. Mary laid him in the hay. So little boys and girls may pray. Jesus, Jesus, baby Jesus, we love you.
More better.
Okay.
I thought we were having a testimony after this. Is that Sister Vicky? We're going to move that to later? Okay. All right. A couple things I want to clear here before we get into tonight's message is the pizza that is offered in the fellowship hall. It is for sale. They wanted me to make sure that I made you aware of that. And what we do is when we are we have a coffee shop here, Great Awakenings, and we, from the proceeds of this, they sponsor, I know, children from Tupelo Children's Mansion, as well as some of our missionaries. I think they sponsor 3 or 4 missionaries. So that is for sale by the whole pie. You can buy a whole pizza. This is all homemade, or you can buy it by the slice. How many of you like pizza? Yeah, how many of you? It's just a great night for pizza, isn't it? Yeah. Also, too, between Christmas and New Year's, our website, we hit 200,000 downloads, which is a goal we've been shooting for some time, and we were able to take and hit that between our Christmas and New Year's break. And we had a lot of folks go on there that missed services, that went on and just caught a service that they had missed maybe previous, and I want to thank Brother John Rivest and our tech team for keeping that all up. And we had a wedding last night, started at 10:30, and got finished. I don't know what time we left after midnight, and there were still folks there. And how many of you are able to make it out to the wedding? It was just a beautiful first wedding I've ever been to at 10:30 at night, and it's the first wedding I've ever been to over a new year, and the first wedding I've ever been to in a warehouse. But it was awesome, wasn't it? Wasn't that just awesome? I was just like, man, this is so cool. And so best wishes to Kirby and Brittany and the Powell family And Tim, it's one less spot you need to park cars there out there. So Tim and Kayla, but I am so thankful for what God has done, and we've had a great Christmas season, and I trust all of you have had a great Christmas season, and we're moving on into the new year, and the new year brings all sorts of surprises. And I was in the bishop's office before service, and he's got a refrigerator in there, and I took this magnet off the refrigerator because I thought it was humorous. It says, "Best wishes for 1990, Calvary Gospel Church." This is a miracle in two ways. It's 27 years old, and it hasn't been lost. 1990. It's hard to believe that was 27. How many of you remember 1990? You know, then it's the 2000, and we went through all of that dreaded Y2K and all of that stuff, and here we are now, 2017. And if you have your Bibles tonight, I want to just get into this. I know we had over our Christmas, we had Welcome Home, and as I said, the weather, the cold, and having to jostle our schedule around, things just didn't quite work out how we had planned it to work out, but nevertheless, we're into a new year, and I'm excited. If you turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3, we have been challenging the church on this thought of becoming all that God wants you to be. Several messages that we have preached have shared with you about, and I believe that the Bible wants us to always be triumphant in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe that God wants us to walk around as failures, and as the world would say at times, that we are just a bunch of losers. That's not what God intended for his people or his church. So tonight, if I could, for a short while, I would like to speak to you on the topic, "It's Not Too Late to Start Over." Reading from Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." I'm going to read that again because this is something that we as humans get caught up in all the time. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before or are ahead of me. And in verse 14, it says, "I press, I push, I pressure myself toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I think Paul was trying to say that I want to be everything that God has made me to be. If God has made me to be an evangelist, I want to be everything that I can be. If God has called me in children's ministry or youth ministry or whatever ministry it is, Paul was saying, I want to be all that I can be. I want to fulfill the potential that God has placed within me and that God has saved me to become. You may think you're just on this planet to just feed the worms in the earth when you die, but God has placed you here for a whole lot more than what we think we are here for. And I hope that as we go into this year, that your goals, your aspiration, your hope, your dreams, your driving ambition is to be everything in this life that God wants you to be, not for you, but for his honor and for his glory. This ought to be the ambition of every child of God. It ought to be the ambition of our church. And we can never be satisfied with mediocrity. We can never be satisfied to be where we are. We must always be pressing to become more and to move forward and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But you see, the problem with many people today and the problem with many churches today is they're really not pressing towards the mark. In fact, it's sad to say they're really not going anywhere because they've become content with where they have been and they are comfortable at where they are right now. They are self-satisfied, and God can never use a self-satisfied person, and God cannot use a self-satisfied church. Now, as we think about life today, as we enter into 2017, I don't care what your 2016 brought to you. I'm not sounding calloused. I'm not sounding lack of emotion. But 2016 is behind us. And as we enter into 2017, I want to challenge you here tonight that it's not too late to start over. You know that in life, we understand this. Life is not just a series of success after success after success. We have to be real with life because life is very real to us. I don't know if you figure this out or not, but life is not only a matter of successes, but life many times is a matter of failures. And the fact is that everyone experiences failures in their life. Life is never an unbroken series of victory after victory after victory after victory. We may go through a season of some victories in our life, and then it seems like we have setbacks and losses, and sometimes we have defeats that can just knock us off our feet. They can overwhelm us, and on occasion, we bring defeat on ourselves by things that we do that are foolish, but more often, the failures that we face are thrust upon us. Something that we did not expect. We read about Job in the book of Job, Job chapter 17, verse 11, where he says, "My days have passed, my plans are shattered, and so are the desires of my heart." Job didn't know what hit him. He didn't understand what all had gone on and was going on. And he says, "My days have passed, and my plans, my life, everything I thought I had and everything I was looking forward to, it's all gone. And so is my dream. So is that vision, my desires of my heart." I don't know if you've ever felt like that or not, but I realize tonight as we talk about how to rebound from a failure, some of you may be saying, "Well, you know, Pastor, I really don't need this message. I got a really good life. I got a good job. I got a good wife. I got a good house. Things are going well." Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a little forewarning that you better take some notes tonight. Because everybody, at some point in time in your life, you're going to experience defeats. Some of those defeats may be minor. Some of those defeats may be major and will knock you right clean off of your feet. So take some notes tonight and use it as what I would call preventive medicine. So when the time comes, you have the correct tools from the Word of God and how to deal with whatever that failure or that disaster is that has come your way. I want to do two things tonight. I want to look at some of the causes of failure, and then I want to talk about what God's Word says about getting a fresh start. So many times we talk about failure, and we just stop at that, and we don't go into there are a number of reasons why we fail. I've looked over my life, and I've had a lot of failures in my life, but I found out that probably the number one reason that I have failed in my life is because I simply either I didn't want to, I didn't have the desire to, I didn't have the You ever just get a word that's right there? I'm going to get this. We're going to pull this word out of there. I didn't have the desire. I didn't have... I'll just tell you this. Somebody out there has got that word. When we fail to plan, I didn't have the... What a word am I looking for? Foresight? I'm looking for another one. That's not it. Throw it out there. Come on. Some of you are working at it. What's that? Motivation? Ambition? So you're getting the idea, right? You're stuck the same place I'm stuck at times. If you plan to fail, or if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. We've heard of that. I didn't have the self-discipline a lot of times to even bother with planning things out in my life. Sometimes we just let life just be life. But you know, if we don't make plans, if we don't sit down, and I know this is... You know, you can New Year's resolution yourself to death, but if you don't sit down and say, you know what, in 5 years from now, I want to be a registered nurse, and I'm going to have to go to nursing school, I'm going to have to take all of these classes. If you don't plan for that, you're never going to get to that. You're never going to get there. And so many times we take and we refuse, or we're not disciplined enough to plan out our lives, and year after year after year, it comes and it goes, and you know what? We find ourselves thinking about back in 1990, 27 years passes, and we're still like that magnet on the refrigerator. We haven't changed one bit. Because we simply didn't plan. You see, Proverbs 16:9 tells us a sensible man, or I'm sorry, Proverbs 27:12 says a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. You see, we should make plans, and we need to count on God to direct us. So one of the reasons we fail is that we tend to be impulsive and we just don't plan ahead the way that we should. Jesus said in one of his parables in Luke chapter 14, verses 28 and 29, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? If you're going to put an addition on your house, or you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy a new home, whatever it may be, the first thing you do is you sit down and you begin to budget. You begin to work on a plan to say, you know what, can we afford this? But see, it says, goes on, for if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. You see, the number one reason why we fail in life is because we don't plan in life. Number two reason I found out on why we have failures in life is Proverbs 16:18 says, first pride, then we crash. We have a big ego, and the bigger the ego, the harder the fall, and we fail when we think we have it all together. You see, we fail when we think that we have arrived. But see, the problem is if you never plan, you never really know if you've arrived. So in your mind, you may have always arrived. You see, we have pride. You see, we're never going to get anywhere if you think you're already there. I like the old saying, someone says, he who is too big for his britches will eventually be exposed in the end. So watch out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fail or fall. Don't be so naive and so self-confident to think that you're not exempt from this. Because we're all susceptible. We could fall flat on our face as easy as somebody else does. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless, and we need to cultivate an environment of God confidence in our lives. You see, pride causes us to fail. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Number three, we fail. I know so many people that fall into this. These are all steps of failure that are all built one upon another. We fail when we're afraid to take risks. Risk is another word I like to take, and instead of risk, faith. We don't have enough faith. The moment that you start worrying about what other people think when it comes to your life and taking risks, you're doomed. I've taken some risks in my life. I put everything, literally, that I've owned on the line. And say, God, if this doesn't work, I'll probably walk away with nothing. But because, God, I believe that you're in it, I have done my best to plan for everything that I know to plan for. And God, you're going to have to help me in the areas that I don't see or that are unforeseen, that are out of my vision. And God has come through, and God has helped, and God has blessed. You see, the moment you start worrying about what other people think, the fear of failure. People say, I'm afraid to fail. You know what happens when you let the fear of failure come over you? The fear of failure is the cause of failure. That's the problem. The fear of failure will cause you to fail. That's not what God wants in our lives. It's not what God wants in your life spiritually. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to fail on your job. He doesn't want you to fail in your marriage. He doesn't want you to fail in raising your children. That's not what God is all about. God wants you to be the absolute best that you could ever be. You see, we cannot be afraid. I love the old statement, you can't be afraid to go out on a limb. How many of you ever picked an apple off of the trunk of the tree? We have one person here. No, okay, they're going to recant that. I've never seen an apple grow right out of the trunk. It's out there on the end of the limbs. And I love this analogy. We cannot be afraid to get out on the limb because that's where the fruit is. You want fruit in your life? You got to take a little bit of a risk, and you got to get out there on the limb because that's where the fruit is. You see, we fail also because we just quit too soon. We just give up too soon. You see, the problem with many people is that during trying times, they stop trying. Failure is the path of least persistence. Write that one down. Put that one on your refrigerator with a 1990 magnet to hold it up there. How many times in football games have you seen the game won or lost within seconds with a field goal? Within seconds. You see, you keep on trying. You never give up. I love what Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for if we continue to work, if we continue to push, if we continue to just keep grinding it out, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up and quit. If we don't give up and quit. You see, a church requires everyone to refuse to quit. Because when one person quits, somebody else, it's like on a football team. If one person quits, it's like domino effect through the team. One person gives up and it affects the outcome of the game. Listen, church, the game that we are involved in, this game of life, and it's not really a game, but metaphorically you understand, it is far too valuable to just quit and give up. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep pushing. I love one version that reads, "Let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if, for such a little word, it can sure have a huge rebuttal." I love that. If we don't get discouraged and give up. I don't know about you, but I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. I don't like to quit. I don't like to get beat. I don't like the taste of dirt in my mouth. Never give up. Try again. Try again. Keep on going. You're never a failure until you quit. Number five, another reason why we fail, and this is a huge one, is because we don't put God in our equation. We don't listen to God. We don't listen to God. You see, God's word is so full with guidelines and principles that make our lives all that God wants us to be. Most of the time, you and I, we would rather listen to our feelings than we would rather listen to what the Word of God has to say. You see, the fact is God's Word is often the exact opposite of what our natural inclinations are. You see, God's Word says the way to get is to give. That doesn't make sense to us. The way to be honored is to be humble. And the way to greatness is to be a servant. That doesn't make sense with our humanity, because it clashes with one of the other back here when we have problem with pride. You see, that's our human nature. We don't like that. You see, but these principles in the Bible, they just take and they cut right clear across all of our natural human tendencies. Instead, usually if you take the opposite of a natural inclination or those natural tendencies, if you do the opposite, usually you'll just stumble right into God's will. I've done that a few times in my life. Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says, "My ways are not your ways, and my ways are higher than your ways." You see, God looks down right now, and he knows exactly what you're going to face in 2017. You see, when we don't listen to God, we get ourselves into deep trouble, because lack of prayer is a cause of a lot of our failures. We just don't pray. We don't talk to God. Regardless of the cause, we're all going to fail in 2017. Understand that. We're all going to have a moment of failure. We may have a season of failure. After a while, you get tired of talking about failure, don't you? How many of you get tired of talking about failure? You see, God is more interested in your future than he is in your past. He's more interested in your successes than your failures. So what we're going to do, we're going to move from why we fail into how do we get that fresh start? How do we overcome? You know, it's like you go in and the doctor tells you, you know, you've got a serious bronchial infection. Well, I know that. That's why I'm here. I've been coughing for 2 weeks. I've been coughing up stuff that would make wallpaper paste look wimpy. We've been there. We've had those moments. And what good does it do if we go in and the doctor says, "Well, yeah, you've got bronchial infection. It's spreading. It's terrible." "Well, what do I do, doctor?" "Well, I don't know. I don't have a clue what to tell you." You know? Just going to have to just deal with it, I guess. But you see, there's a way. There's a way that we can overcome our daily failures, our weekly, our struggles. And the Bible shows us a clear, fresh start. So how do you get a fresh start? How do you get a fresh start in 2017? Well, number one you have to do is you have to accept responsibility. Hear me now. You have to accept responsibility for your failure. Own up to it. You see, Proverbs 28:13 says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. He will have mercy. I love the gospel. I preached on this just last time I preached about second chances. You see, here the writer in Proverbs is saying, if you make a mistake, admit it. Admit it. I blew it, God. I blew it. Maybe to your wife, to your children. Dad, sometimes it's real hard for us to fess up our mistakes to our children. I blew it. I was wrong. Face up to it. Be honest with yourself and be honest with others. But most of us would rather pass the buck because it's our natural sinful nature. You see, what did Adam do? He blamed Eve. He blamed Eve. And then he blamed God. He said, God, the woman you gave to me, this beautiful woman, and she gave me the fruit to eat, and I ate it. So here you have this blame game. You see, I don't want to be brass here, but losers are pros at blaming other people. If you're constantly failing and losing, it's because you become a pro at blaming other people. It's not my fault. I know we don't have CIP tonight, but we've talked to some of the CIP inmates. They've given their testimonies, and they become experts at blaming other people as to why they're there. I love it when people say, yeah, I got pulled over by that stupid cop. Really? How fast were you going? Well, I was doing 45. Well, okay, that's not too bad. What were you in? A school zone. Well, pardon me, but why is the cop stupid? Just think about some of these things. Why is it the cop's fault? We blame other people. Sometimes we blame our parents. We like to blame our parents because of the way that we've turned out. Maybe we blame our spouses. We like to blame the government for all kinds of our old woes. But God says, if you start over, admit your failures. I don't know where we got the idea that we have to pretend that we're perfect. Because we're not. Get over yourself. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So let's stop blaming other people for our own imperfections. It's because of me and my actions. Number two, we need to stop regretting. I talk to people all the time, saying, oh, Pastor, I have so many regrets. We need to stop regretting and start repenting. Now, what does it mean to repent? Repentance means a change of mind, to look at something very differently, to change your direction, to change your heart. Repentance means change. We've been talking about that here in some of our past messages. You do something about it. You don't just sit around and mope around and say, I'm a failure. What a mess I am. God's never going to use me again. I'm worthless. Stop regretting and start repenting. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I like the way the Good News Bible puts it. It says, the sadness that is used by God brings a change of heart that leads to salvation, and there's no regret in that, but sadness that is merely human causes death. If you read this and you look at this, and you notice there's two kinds of sadness that's mentioned in this verse. There's godly sadness and there's worldly sadness. Godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. What's the difference? Well, godly sorrow brings about a change of heart. It motivates you to do something. You say, by the grace of God, I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. I've learned a lesson in my life. But worldly sorrow is demoralizing and depressing, and in the end, it causes death. It could be physical death, or it could be spiritual death. You see, the most devastating emotions in life is self-pity. And a lot of times we say, woe is me. Nobody likes me. You see, that's worldly sorrow. But godly sorrow says, God, I've made a mistake. I'm not perfect. And we fall to our knees and we ask God for repentance. I'm kind of running out of time here. So number three, you forget the former and focus on the future. As I said, as we go into 2017, you know what? Everything that happened in 2016 that was bad, just leave it in 2016. Don't bring it with you. Don't carry it anymore. I love what Paul says here. Brethren, I count not what I have apprehended, but this one thing I do. All of those Christians that I persecuted and responsible to have killed, I got to put all that behind me. Paul was one bad person. And what does he say? I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize. Paul is saying, don't let your defeats defeat you. Let me ask you a very personal question tonight. What memory in your life, what memory do you have right now in your life? You've probably been thinking about this as I'm speaking, that you're allowing to continue to manipulate you. You're allowing it to continue to beat you up. You're allowing it to continue to have a grasp and a hold on you. What is that one thing that you wish that you had never, ever done, and you have so many regrets? You see, you can't change the past by worrying about it, so you have to let it go. I believe a key example of this in the Bible is when Peter and Judas, they both reacted to the same failure. Both Peter and Judas, we know they were disciples of Jesus, and both Peter and Judas denied Christ. Both Peter and Judas were devastated by their own failure. But how they responded to their failure is what affected how their life went. You see, Peter denied the Lord three times. The rooster crowed and Peter went out, the Bible says, and wept bitterly. In Matthew 26:75. Just imagine how he felt. Here's a man who'd lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. And he said, Lord, when the chips are down and you need me the most, I don't even have enough guts to stand up for you. His self-esteem was at zero. He felt like a complete failure, and he must have prayed, oh, God, are you ever, ever going to use me again? I don't know if you've ever felt like a complete failure or not, but you see, many times we said, Lord, I've disgraced you. I feel miserable. I feel wretched. He felt genuine remorse, and he felt godly sorrow. But what did he do? He stopped regretting, and he started repenting. You see, Judas, on the other hand, he had worldly sorrow. when Judas had betrayed him, when he saw Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. That's your problem. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. You see, the one repented bitterly, and the other one committed suicide. You see, I'm not sure that Peter must have thought, God, you can never use me again. But when we go to a passage in Mark, the closing chapter of Mark on Easter morning, when the two women went to the tomb to put spices on the body of Jesus, the angel told them that Jesus' body was not here. And he said, arise and go tell the disciples. But you notice what the angel said? He says, go tell his disciples and make sure you tell Peter. Why? Why did the angel specifically call out Peter? Because so many times you and I have been in that exact same spot. You see, I don't deserve what I have. I don't deserve to be a disciple anymore. I've destroyed my credibility. I'm just a miserable, no good, worthless hypocrite. And Peter needed a positive word of encouragement. So Jesus had the angel specifically to call out Peter's name. Go tell my disciples and don't forget to tell Peter. If our musicians can come, if you could stand tonight. You see, what was the difference? Peter repented and Peter changed. The man who had denied the Lord three times was a man who Jesus used 40 days later on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter who got up and preached the first apostolic message, and 3,000 people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, I don't care necessarily tonight what your failure is in life. You're not washed up unless you've chosen to quit and reject the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must accept responsibility. Stop regretting. Stop regretting and start repenting. Forget the former and focus on the future. And the last step is trust God. Trust God to work it out. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. One could read it like this, and we know that all that happens to us is working for our good. If we love God and are fitting into his plans, you say, you may look at your life and you may say, my life at this time is a complete disaster. From our point of view, we could look and say, my life is just a jumbled up mess. And we think, how could anything come out of this? I don't know what God has planned. I don't know what God has planned for me this next year. And I don't know what he has for you next year. But I know that God does, because he tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have loved you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So tonight, as we enter into 2017, are you looking for a fresh start tonight? Are you frustrated? What better time to start over again than right now, tonight? Because God specializes in new beginnings, and it's not too late to start over. For musicians, can Sister Vicky, if you could sing. I just want to open up this altar tonight and invite you down for a time of prayer. Perhaps you didn't have the best of years last year. I don't know. Maybe there are things in your life that you're struggling with that you